interrupting the current neo-colonial cricketism, ongoing, endlessly, to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTWRLM 431. How you like that, folks? 431. I was also informed today that some of the links in the broadcaster aren't working in the past presentations, which is understandable. You know, this is the mandala effect internet. Things aren't what they seem to be. But I just wanted, as I was thinking about that and trying to keep up with how do you keep everything current, and you can't when it's always changing on you. They put you on a bunch of marbles and expect you to believe that it's a steady state condition. In a way, I was thinking about how this, in the past, I was thinking how to continue this management. It's really just about impossible. But it also occurred to me, folks, with what I talk about and what I approach, remember, I'm just talking about what's in the news, if you will, the notice to us. And I use that to spring into principles that we are going to need. I say it that way because my view is we're not ascending and spiraling up and aspire to our greatest aspirations, I suppose I can say it that way. But in a way, in the future, when you look at the blogcasters, for as long as they're available, it won't matter what I've referenced from the past. You won't need to read about it, folks. You'll be living the horror if you do nothing about it to stop it today. It's rolling out. And I want you to think about what I just said there. It is requiring that we're going to have to stop it. And if people are rising up, I'm going to go through a bunch of links right up front here on what we can continue to do and that we will likely have to do as they're coming, as I said last week, they're telling you, as I told you a year and a half ago, they're coming to your door. It's every man and woman for himself. And hopefully you can bind together mutual protection to start figuring stuff out. And another communication prior to the broadcast, it's people apparently aren't really listening to what I'm saying in a way, and then they don't realize how simple it is what I'm suggesting. And then, more importantly, what I'm offering that you need to do subverts the police power prerogative for you. And this is where it comes down to each one of us. So, as I said, I bring up these points that the links may not work. Maybe try archive.org. In their Wayback Machine, you might find the basic research material, or keep up with the broadcast and keep saving away information that you find important. I used to take and put the text of all the documents into the broadcaster, but it takes so long to do that. I don't have that kind of time. I'm already spending 6 to 8 hours after the broadcast to set up the broadcaster and get the audio file ready to go, and then upload it to other places. It's just so much time. Don't know what else to do about that. We're going to find links missing. The point is, and the idea was, the audio file is maybe the last representation of that thing that I'm talking about. But understand that you can probably find the subject matter, but what I'm speaking to is using those, what I'm speaking to is the principles that those notices to us evoke in us and then cause us to have to do. This is really more, again, it's an action-oriented condition behind the woodshed. Not you being brought behind the woodshed. You're bringing some other evil do behind the woodshed. And there's ways to approach that. It's not all that complicated in some regard. Again, doesn't mean we get justice. If there was justice, we wouldn't be having to do this. That has to be a bright line for you to understand, a bright bulb moment. I've been telling this to the miners for a long time. Justice was out there, we wouldn't have to deal with what we do have to deal with. So there's a trade-off in using the notice net, which is the internet. It changes all the time. Again, as a starting off point for these principles underlying the actions that you need to take, it's just a starting point, and everybody's different. And to try, what you're doing is you're attempting to avoid the oppressive austerity that's coming with the future we want. It has nothing to do with you. It's the future we want. It has nothing to do with what you want. And I don't even think the dystopian discussion that people have may describe the future we want correctly. And it's so incremental, it's going to go past most people's observation anyway. And so I think it's best not to find out about that future. I think it's best to step up, be responsible for the future you want, for you. The only way I know to approach that is use the black and white objective basis that no one is supposed to deny. And anybody that does can be brought into culpability, liability for doing so. And then enough people doing that in mutual protection of each other, where you have the miscreants in official office under color of a governmental function, but aren't actually doing the governmental function, you'll have a much better power to address what's going on. So I am asking you, again, and came up in the chat a little bit, about what you need to do. If I was presented with another lawsuit, going to federal court. I've told you, don't go to federal court. I went quickly through. I didn't look at it take very much time. In fact, I don't know that I have to take much time. Got down to number 10 in the things of the assertions of facts. And they're asking the court to do something that I've told you don't do with the federal court. The federal court is going to defer to the state authority. And I've explained why. And the United States government has explained why. And I did that through the IHR 2005, the International Health Regulation. The United States and Iran made the only two countries that made reservations. The United States reservation was they would have to defer to the state's authority for health matters. It's exclusive to the state. And so you don't go to federal court. They're just going to defer to the judgment of the officials that have been handed the power. And that apparently no political party can stop this oppression, which means that they're in on it. Self-evidently, I would have to say, folks. I mean, I've looked at this long enough. I can keep thinking about this. People say, well, not that they're saying, like I hear this, oh, who's the guy behind the woodshed? I do get a little bit of that. But people listen and say, well, who is this guy? Folks, I've been studying this earnestly and on point and applying it for over 30 years now. I don't know that there's another attorney out there that can match me on the specifics of what I've studied. And I'm not saying that's on the broadcast. I'm talking, let's say, specific to mining law and or property law now. And then having to deal with the oppression that comes with people that don't respect your rights, don't respect the law under the color that they are, law enforcement. I think I have something to say. I think I have an expertise that paperwork won't even muster through a organized school. I don't see, I think, like it's a question. In fact, a friend of mine, a co-owner of the mining claim, and we're looking at what they're doing, the Forest Service is coming. They came again. They came even worse. They're escalating. And I'm doing my best to try and, I've got to address this in a very particular way, and I've got to figure that out still. I'm still working with that. But I was shown some work I did for help I gave to another miner, that the Forest Service did the same thing. And I was pretty well blown away by what I'd come up with then. It's the same thing we may have to come up with today. And he got his stuff back. Problem is, it got stolen. It was never supposed to be stolen. And so there's ways to do this. But the underlying problem is not that you have that you can do that, that you can get your stuff back. It's that we're going to have to step up and stop this oppression that they put us on immediately without any test. We have to provide that check. And if we don't, I'm telling you what I'm seeing coming down, it's a real horror. We're looking at, I mean, if we go through the normal times, we're looking at 3 or so years and then 7 years and then possibly, you know, 10. It's kind of like in three and a half year increments. This thing is looking like it's going out. Well, they told us 2030. We're looking at least 9 or 10 years here. For sure, we're looking at going to go beyond 2025. It's not going to get better. And the incrementalism is built into the system. They're coming onto us, just like I said they were. And I'm not the only one, but I'm one of the ones that did state how they would do it. And I have been telling you how you're going to need to subvert that ability, that stealthy thing that they've done to us. I hope when I'm telling you, you generate that simple letter. You call your local, you have to look at your statutes, your communicable disease statutes. And I'm going to say this again right up front so people don't miss it. When people are looking around in my archives, and I keep telling you, well, I've been talking about this for over a year. as they're scrambling now to say, what do I do? And they're all going to do, they come up to me and they're really doing the wrong thing. They're doing what an attorney in Alabama is doing at the federal court and asking the wrong question. I found it at their number 10 fact. You don't ask a federal court to determine the existence of a fraud, of this condition. They'll defer to the state. How many cases have I reported on that to you folks? That's not the way to go. So for you, each one of you, follow the local law, the state law for communicable disease. There's an official that becomes the central official. Likely in the United States of America, it's your county public health officer, official. He writes your letter for you. Now, we got that figured out. You don't do it in the generic. They came back originally, but we can't give you that. It's private information to somebody else. And they wouldn't even accept the request for a redacted version for any report. And so now we got it from the courts that they say, well, for you, let's get it right down to the one, the effect of the rule is supposed to be everyone who's the risk, and that's what you asked for. Has there been, and it's only following the rules that you're going to go do. The rules that have given for communicable disease is that a health professional must issue a medical report that suspects that you are someone with a communicable disease on the list. Okay, so that's the first question. Is there a report? That's the only two questions here, and then a condition you ask for. You send your letter asking, is there a medical report? Can you give me evidence of a medical report? And then you ask, has the official determined that you are a public health risk? We have evidence. Or confirmation that neither of those exist. Now you've got, for you, you have it blocked out. They didn't fulfill the statute for you. If they haven't fulfilled the statute, they can't use the mitigation measures they're trying, and they haven't determined that you to be a risk based on a report that had a medical professional, typically the doctor, who was, as we found out in the Portuguese case, is the sole and exclusive healthcare provider for you, which is interesting when you don't have one. And so, now we got another problem that may creep up. I'm not trying to make problems here. Simple letter, two questions. Was a medical report generated on me, and have you determined me to be a risk to the public? And then if not, I want confirmation of the non-existence of either. All right, pretty simple. That starts your record. That starts the record where the authority begins. So I hope if you think that through with what you're seeing coming at us, and it's not going over. I got another, as soon as I get there, I'm already off my tab so far. I'll get right to it here. We're going to go right through some things, I think, pretty quickly, but remedies you can just hear other people doing to give you hopefully the inspiration that it's out there for us to do for ourselves. But I hope if you can see what I've been talking about and what you understand this prevailing power they've been using, and the courts are deferring to the executive for doing so, embracing the fraud itself. I mean, that's got to tell you something here on top of it. But I hope you can understand what a simple little letter like that does, how it interferes with their police power prerogative, and how quickly you can show any imposition against you becomes a felony activity against your rights and property in yourself. Everyone talks about this, but no one really knows, seems to know how to get at it. So how do you do that? How do you get to the felonies? I've been telling you. Again, I'm not really talking in circles in a way. I know maybe it doesn't sound like I get right at it, but I do. I know I talk fast. I can't help that. I don't have a governor for that. I want you to have the information. I want you to protect yourself or be able to. How do you find out about extortion and coercion? Just go to the black and white state that you are in. What the officials can't deny in the black and white is there. But for their machinations about how they interpret certain things, that can happen. So you don't go in those pathways. You find the real simple, straightforward, someone comes underneath the color of an authority to interfere with your rights and don't have no warrant. That's an extortion on the property. If it interferes with a right, which you actually should lead with, you have a right that's been interfered with, that's coercion. And those statutes are sitting in your state law. If you just read it, pick it, copy and paste it, and find out how your facts fit. And that letter goes right to explaining the government doesn't have the authority over you, and the communicable disease laws are relative to you, the one that is the risk, and the containment of that. In other words, if they also, we get beyond that, and I'm not going to, that's your letter. Your letter is what I just told you, but beyond that, they now have the obligation. Remember, the remedy for that is habeas corpus. you're unlawfully restrained or constructively restrained of your liberty without warrant in law. That's the habeas. Right? Then you, and then you show the crime. They haven't shown anything else. They can't show anything else. They can't show that you didn't have, they had a lawful order that you didn't follow. There's more and more questions you could ask, but they're not necessarily at the point of making, beginning to start your record as they come to your doors now. So moving on, really moving into now, what other things can you do? Some things have come up. Let me move into that now. I'll get right to my tabs. So in addition to what I'm saying, and I think that's the core, I do not suggest that you take the next following steps before you do this for you, what I've just said about your letter, for each one of you, and maybe even your sons and daughters. And understand what I just said there, sons and daughters. Your mothers and fathers to sons and daughters. And this is going to be my hesitation on my next suggestion, why you have to check everything. Don't accept anything without a correct interpretation for you, for your facts. I'm not here to tell you what they are. I'm saying be careful what you do accept. But there, Catherine Austin Fitz is in the news, if you will, in our face now, in our notice, getting it right in our face. What she's telling us is really important, something that people don't really understand, which I think is very important to understand. The execution is something I'm asking you to do cautiously. That she was on an interview, I think it was with David Knight, and she's offering what they call legal tools to fight vaccine mandates. I'm going to give you, and I just jumped another story, but I'm going to jump into here with Catherine's office and Fitz, and I'll go back to the other one that we talked about last week, Polygon and On. The suggestions on what to do. She has a very interesting and very valuable, very poignant view that I don't think, I didn't even think about it myself, but I'm not one that I would worry about it. But she, because of the way that it comes down, she is saying, and rightly so, I'll say, absolutely rightly so, that you have to calculate, you need to, what she calls the due diligence in calculating your financial risks from vaccines. And I thought that was brilliant, because what this has to do is with mothers and fathers who are going to have to pay the price for vaccine injury. And you have the right to go through and do your bottom line. So you see, Catherine Austin Fitz is interesting is that she comes from the economic consequences of things and looking forward so you don't walk into, her job at the government was to not walk into problems and to avoid problems. And that was what a problem was. When she started identifying the government was walking into those by doing things wrong, she got a little bit of heat there. But she's offering for you right now, and I'll give you the links just to get to a couple points, that you need to calculate financial risk. And I went and I looked at the document for that. It's on and on and on about all the stuff that people do not think about. I was blown away at how much there was, how much we just kind of pass out of our mind. And she's saying, using this in the capacity where a mother or father may have to take on the liability for their offspring getting damaged. And what that's really doing is it's telling the son or daughter that's going to be imposed without the consent of the mother or father, it's telling them, you better figure this out, because your answer, if you can't answer all this, you can't cover this, and you can't put that on me. And the government has no right to put that on me. What this is a really formal way to delineate what is going on the financial hazard to you, which I found was brilliant. We don't really think about what it's going to cost. She gives you a general ballpark. It's going to be a $5 million if your son or daughter gets a problem with these vaccines. I say extend that to you or your loved one that aren't your sons and daughters without consent. Anyway, so enough here on this. I'll give you some links in the blogcaster to her website. There is the thing about going on the offense to defend your rights. I would offer a caution here. When you read those documents, she's also saying she's getting help from Jerry Day. And I appreciate these people are brilliant, both of them. I appreciate them immensely. Don't know them. Never talk with them. But I've also told you that when you list, be careful of forms and be careful of what people suggest based on their study. Look very carefully that what you're intending to do is what you will end up doing and that it is supported. More importantly, look at how the forms, if you will, forms are stated. I'm going to give you one that I did find out real quickly. They talk about, I think in the Solari paper, that you're a parent. You go through and you're going to address an organ, an official. And I'd say don't do this until you've got your letter that says you aren't a risk, because then that's going to bring you the real power. They're doing it. They're not suggesting doing any of that, what I say, which I think is the first step. Then that empowers this next step. But be careful on delineating what a status you might be within the state, like the word parent. If you're not the custodial agent of the ward of the state in the child, don't call yourself a parent. And I hear, how do you know that? Go read the definitions. Go read the underlying authority for how those even exist in the state, in the black and white. And I've told you before, it's not good enough to deny. You have to exist in another place that they can't touch. And those offspring are your property. Now we're getting back to the potential to get extortion and the coercion of your rights when they went without consent. You can start building it up. So I would offer, again, don't dismiss what they're saying, but don't embrace completely without what she calls due diligence. She's very good at explaining what we all need to do. What they're saying, and I will equate this over to the BLM forms. Remember, I've talked about this for a minor. The BLM and the bookstores, if you will, the little form shops, will give you forms to do if you're a minor. And I looked at those, when I did some research on what the mining law required, I looked at it, I said, these are defective. We've never, for our clan, we have never filed a bookstore form. We create our own. There's standards that the black and white will tell you. You might get some ideas on how to start a form from them, but they are not what you want to do. And years and decades later, there was a case, I told you about all this, the form that the BLM and this bookstore was offering was not sufficient in California, and it deprived a claimant of his property because it wasn't correct. It wasn't adequate. It wasn't sufficient relative to what the black and white said. And so this is my caution to you. I'm not saying that they're wrong. You might be a parent. I don't think you are. You might be a parent if you've got people, let's see, kids that you're taking care of, maybe in the foster system. I don't know. See, I don't know all the facts. I just know normally, without that imposition, without that fraud, and that's a fraud as my research had done since 2005, if you don't have that attachment, you're likely not a parent, and your offspring are likely not a child. And so be careful of what you admit when you submit these forms to your local officials. But you have something you can do. You have different avenues. This financial risk analysis is very cool because it's like coming off from left field from what I can tell from anything you're going to be talked to about. And then the things that Jerry Day, I understand, brings, which I haven't read his stuff, but relative to, let's say, power meters and the smart meters and all that, the liability statement that he brings, that when they do something wrong, they become liable. You attach all this as your record, as you're building it. Now you're starting to come from a foundation they don't want to touch. And that's what happened with the miner I helped relative to the Forest Service stealing his property years and years ago. They didn't even want to see a letter from him. He had to get letters to the Forest Service. We had him, the Forest Service agent, so locked into liability and going through the steps that you need to do, they didn't even want to see a letter from him. He had to get another miner to walk a letter in to sneak it in past their guard so that he could deliver it to him. That's just what starts to happen when your record is a lot better. They don't want to talk to you. They don't want to see you. And that might be just good enough. But you have to build that correctly so that they don't own you. Java Doctor, thank you for that. Yeah, they own you as long as you don't do this. They presume that they own you if you don't do this. And see, this is what I keep saying. You can't just not do something in the way they've got this construct about things. They're doing it, and they do it, they justify it because they're doing it for you, for your benefit. And it's interesting, your whole mindset has to be, well, there's nothing there that they're offering me as a benefit. In fact, the trade-off for the benefit is the loss of myself, my own. Isn't it? They own you. They treat you like they own you when you are a parent. You're just a custodial agent. Go read for that in the definition in black and white. So I want to offer this. I thought it was very important. The financial risk angle is perfect. It's just another way to come at them. And do the work. Go find out for yourself what it's going to cost. Find out. Go look at what the compensation for what this is and how it doesn't actually cause, now pay for your time and your life expended trying to keep caring of your little one. And then when you're gone, what happens then? Yeah, think about this seriously. When I'm talking to you about certain things, I'm trying to have you avoid all that. All that uncertainty, all that care they want to give to you. all that community care they want to provide. We'll be giving a couple of links. John Rutherford, moving on. What else can be done? I'm the attorney I love to hate in a way, and I don't know John at all. I don't know Mr. Whitehead. I don't know quite a few people. In fact, the attorney that was in the lawsuit in Alabama, I've heard of him forever and ever and ever. And I appreciate what he said, but he still ends up being an attorney at the end of the day. But for this story, I'm going to tell you something. He must be listening behind the woodshed. Nah, I doubt it, because of the way he ended he ended his article wrong. But anyway, he's got a paragraph or so, a section right before the end that's very important that he's never done that I've noticed before. It's what I've been asking, why? Where are these attorneys to help? The right to be let alone. This is on the door knock stuff. The strike force coming against you, as he says. What to do when COVID strike force teams come a-knocking. Okay, I added the Anyway, come knocking. When they come knocking, what are you going to do? Think about it. Finally, you can read this. He's good at telling you how the problem is. He's telling you good at setting up the situation. He hasn't been so good at explaining from the legal side, if you will, even the legal side, how to respond. Well, I only offer this because this issue, this article right here, you get down right above the section, right above the finale where he then hands it back to them, goes back into the question. But right above that, he has a section where he's explaining what you might consider to start putting together for yourself on the rights that are being violated in you if you are set up correctly. He finally offers something about what you might be able to do. And I think it's valuable enough to go read it. I'm saying, though, get your letter. That should kick it right out the door. Then you have all these, they're unwarranted once they come on your door. Once they do an imposition anywhere, you have that to say, well, that's an unwarranted request. It's unreasonable, but it's also unlawful. It's starting to move into felony if you continue. No, you're trespass. You don't have the right to come into my door to extort or coerce me. You're in trespass. That's where you go to your property. And you're doing it under a color of authority. You have no right to even assert. And then if you have your letter, you can prove it, because anybody that comes from the federal government has no local authority. Right? Look at your code says that. Black and white, folks. I'm not doing anything that's an opinion. And if you start walking into an opinion, then you better check yourself. And if you don't check yourself, you're going to be in trouble. But when you start finding you're running too much opinion, then you better back up. You shouldn't have any opinion. So let's move on. More people starting to step up, and I'm happy to see this, but mostly I see the wrong points being done. I appreciate the protest, but the protest is not going to be defense. It's not an offense. But anyway, you're getting, those of you that are feeling the pressure now, or may feel the pressure, or realizing that the pressure has been there, or they've now outmaneuvered you in a spot, like so-called parents in this title. See, this is the thing. I just cringe. I see this word parents. Nobody's standing up to be, well, I know it's the media, but no one is standing up to be a mother and father, not parent. In other words, you're talking about jurisdiction, your natural jurisdiction is a mother or father. The legal jurisdiction is this parent, which is a fiction. And it's a status under the decision of somebody else. This is all not that hard to understand, but people seem to want to convolute it. It takes a little bit to organize, but once you see it, like I said, I tore right. I didn't have time. I did it right before the broadcast. I said, "Let me see what this Mr. Breedcraft has said." I found number 10 right off the bat. It's not hard to see once you start to look. You understand what you're looking for. Parents' worst nightmare just happened in D.C., folks. If for those of you with the little ones in school, go ahead and keep them there if you want. But what you're asking for it is all I can say. You have no excuses right now. And COVID really gave us the reason to start looking at the whole condition, the whole problem, and to take responsibility for educating our own sons and daughters. There's tools out there for homeschooling, and they're much better now than they used to be. And you're just going to have to do that. You're going to have to try to hold your family together that's been shredded. Pull it back together. You men are supposed to be doing that. You're supposed to hold your family together. Like I said, the mama bear syndrome is powerful, but it's not going to stand up what the man's supposed to do. And I know people may get offended about that, but there's two capacities. I've seen it. I've seen it all these years. Women address the problem totally different than a guy will. And I've seen very fine women literally destroyed when justice didn't happen. The mama bear is vicious. in protection, but it's not as long standing as it needs to be. It really needs a male's idea of what war is. And I don't mean any offense, and if you take any, you're not listening to me. I'm trying to help us understand us. At least my experience and how people respond. That human condition, that animal condition is not something you want to maintain. You need the unity of the mutual protection of a family if you have one. And if not, then you make that family by mutual help by people around you. Parents' worst nightmare just happened. They're allowing in Washington, D.C., the ability to give sons and daughters that you thought were yours vaccines without your consent. And the response to that is parents sue D.C. for vaccinating minors without parental consent. And I'm not analyzing this. I'm just saying this is what's coming. I don't even know. I am not too satisfied that these complaints are going to be sufficient. But I find it interesting it's being done in the District of Columbia. The District of Columbia is a district. And so I'm not so sure what they're facing all there, but I'm also sure that they have the same communicable disease laws that every other rule of law and democracy oppression has, that they need to be doing what I'm saying relative to first to find out that none of their sons and daughters are either, there's no medical report and there's no risk that they've been attached to, and then they're being forced to do these without consent. That's a major problem now, not just that they're not consent. Why is it, if you call yourself a parent, why is that irrelevant? Because you say you're a parent, you don't have the status to have consent. That goes to the state. It's the same problem going to a federal judge and asking him to determine whether or not this exists when the state authority is actually prevailing against his decision. I hope I didn't say that too fast. That part right there is very important, what I just said. All of it is, but at any rate, I mean, that just lays it out. So, they're allowing this minor consent. The minor can't give consent. There's no consent available here. Notwithstanding whatever they're suing on, the state took it under their auspices to go ahead and do this against your little ones. And the parents are not too happy. What about the mothers and fathers? Maybe people don't appreciate this distinction, and you will run up against an official obstruction against recognition. It doesn't mean you stop. It doesn't mean you don't. Anyway, I just want to put this stuff out. People are fighting back, starting to come back. I'm offering you need to really look at whether or not you're doing that correctly. Don't walk into the traps. If you take away their police power prerogative, now you have a better position. If you walk in with that as a question or not settled, it'll be preferred and determined into the power of the state. That's what that letter stops. Now, what's the consequence? This is all the consequences of this nonsense that's been going on. You're going after your little ones, which was always the plan anyway. They got to control the youngest generation, don't they? And they only have to do one of those. And this way, this control is not just psychological, is it that they mind control? You know, they're going to be physically controlling your little ones, whether that's in incapacity or in enhancement of their capacity and the software of life updated regularly. So what's one another consequence coming down? This, through Wolf Street document, this temporary inflation is turning into an inflation spiral. I told you that years ago. What after the what? The fraud that they use toxic debt. There's no stopping it. I'm surprised it's taken this long. But somebody recognized. We can go through, I can read all this. I can put this on the audio so that you hear it in case it gets knocked down, but it doesn't matter. You're going to be living this. You're living this inflation. These numbers are ridiculous what I see here, but you're living this inflation already, but somebody's writing about it. This is the consequence of what they've done. They've done this on purpose, which means that your target really isn't even your local official. That's just one of the tools. The target is always going to be follow the money. Who has that control? Are you conditioned by that medium? And if you are, you're going to have to decide how to pull back and find another medium that will counter this inflation that's not temporary. Now, every ball, the economists, experts are finally seeing it's a spiral. It's going incremental here. See, it doesn't go straight up. It goes up as a spiral, the slope of which is determined by the manipulators of the machine. At any rate, here we are. Your costs are going up astronomically. I don't think they're coming back down because everyone's doing something and all of a sudden the demand, the supply chains are opening up. They're not. I mean, as far as I'm going to offer, I hope I get to it. One of the offerings and the studies about how to counter this COVID thing, whatever it is, is I can't find, it's a supplement. I can't find it. It's not available. And that's another way that they're tearing the healthy down. You can't get what you actually need. And so we're going to have to look for alternatives, which I'll offer a bit of those when I get there, hopefully. But the temporary inflation is turning into an inflationary spiral. I don't even know why this is news this late, but there it is. I told you this was going to happen because of the toxic debt fraud. You can't stop it now. And they can hide all kinds of sins underneath it. And it's not just the Fed, understand. There's whole systems that operate on this. The Fed almost becomes a tool as well. And so you have to look through that. All right, going on. Mass protests in Greece in response to unvaccinated being banned from social life. I can't even believe I'm reading these headlines. Greece has become the latest European, not the only, the latest. Folks, this is a pervasive plan. The latest European, I hope they're doing that behind a tree, country to hit. Is that a European country or an EU country? Very interesting how they threw that in there. Europe. It's no longer Europe what's going on right now. It ought to be, then they wouldn't have this, but that's the one of the problem. That's what slips away on us. European country to hit with the mass protest after government announced that unvaccinated would be banned from visiting bars, restaurants, cinemas, and other public places. So if each one of those, instead of just protesting and railing against the government, which puts you at risk, if you all go in, all thousands and thousands of you would go in and demand your communicable disease results, whether or not you've been determined, and you get a mass of you that show that you're not, then you start to expose as a mass of you that shows that you're not and haven't been determined, and there is no medical reports, you expose the government for its fraud again. Now we're back into maladministration, and any rule, law, and democracy country can overthrow that with law. So not only do you become one that makes the example, which I think is the important thing for as we go into this histories of the future, you have to be the example for others. You can become mutually an aid of others that are the same way. And you become that majority. It doesn't have to be everybody. It just has to be enough. And I kept telling you this, and I'm going to say it because it keeps up coming in my mind when I say it. The Virginia condition that was going on for the Second Amendment, so-called. In Virginia, there's no Second Amendment. They have a different article, which is showing me that this was probably a setup. But they had the ability to prove a mass of the community was opposed to the maladministration under the Constitution, not some frivolous sanctuary created by the individual counties, is the same thing I'm talking about. Every rule of law and democracy nation has this in them. You just have to find it. And the protests are irrelevant. They don't care. They use that as a target. But you come in and you start showing that none of you out there anywhere are actually subject to this, and it's a big fabrication, and the majority of the people start to do this, it becomes a much different problem. It's not a protest now. And you change the dialogue relative to that, too. You call them the felons that they are. You identify the maladministration due to the fact that they lied. You have a whole different vocabulary. Not for Greece alone either. French citizens riot in response to a plan to mandate vaccine passports. So this is they're telling us what's happening. We've already got it here in the United States, whether we want to understand that or not. But here we got French are coming up for the vaccine passports. You got the Greek people, they're segregated, their society is being segregated. Well, I hate when I stutter like that, but segregated society, we've heard that in the United States already, right? They soft touch it. You're not going to go to a concert. I've talked about all this. It's all just stuff coming back, going on through. This is for real, folks. This is not a joke. These are real concerns with people. And I'm offering that there's a different way to approach it in every place the rule of law and democracy brand exists. And if my voice ever gets out, I think it starts to, see, I already know that once you start thinking like what I'm saying, you should apply, your thought process becomes different as well. You're able to cut right through the nonsense. You don't even listen to what they're saying because you've now established the bar which they have to cross, and it's become so high so quick they can't. Everything out of their mouth becomes a fraud, because it is. But to continue to allow a question to exist, by just protesting and not overthrowing the police power prerogative that every rule of law branded nation has, oh, and democracy has, you're not going to be in the power position. You have no place to stand, actually. Just like a federal judge has no place to stand against the determination of a governor. How many cases, I said again, how many cases have we heard where that exact statement came out of the federal courts? So vaccine passports, or vaccines, cow scenes, vaca. This is for the herd, folks, these vaccines. It's for the herd of cud-chewing cows that won't really do what they need to do. I'm dismayed. I look at this and I'm dismayed. I agree. French citizen, too. What, you have the vest people there, too, don't you? Now you're coming back out and do the same thing, but see, you just riot. You're not getting together with your mass of the community to show the maladministration and its fraud. And you do that locally, because that's where the local officials start. That's where the outbreak starts. If you can get enough people in a local area to show there's no outbreak and they've declared one there, that's a fraud. Moving on. L.A. County, you think it ends, folks, the consequence of the ongoing and endlessness of this. L.A. County, United States government, all right? You don't think the United States is involved in this oppression? Of course we are. You think we're a little bit higher in the standard because we got freedom? No. L.A. County to require masks indoors starting Saturday night, regardless of vaccination status. Everybody's going to be underneath the same cover. Why? Because none of the cud-chewing cows has cut themselves from the herd on their own volition, of their own free will. No, you sit there and you do nothing and expect it's not going to happen. Los Angeles County officials released a new health officer order Thursday requiring masks indoors regardless of vaccination status. Now, how is that mitigation proper and lawful and reasonable and not capricious if you're not someone that's subject, that is a risk, or someone that has a medical report, and because the next step after that is then you can actually generate a second letter, so how have you determined susceptibility on my part? Transmissibility on my part? Maybe if you wanted to go further, after the first letter. The first letter is really a lot, but maybe even enough. But for those of you that may want to embrace this a little bit more, there's more questions. Why? Because there's more points to that communicable disease law that can be exposed. And again, enough of you, all the mothers and fathers out there going to school boards. Well, I can't imagine the thousands of people that could get these letters and just walk into the school board and say, what authority are you using now against my son or daughter? You a criminal? How are you not a criminal? This is another technique I've done, and I did with that minor, which I had to be reminded. I don't even remember what I helped people. I just help people, and it's the next thing to go on. I go on to the next thing. It was a show cause. I flipped the whole thing to require. I put the burden on them to show how something was different than what it was, the law was saying. I thought that was, I had to be reminded how cool that was. You just show how what they're doing is against the law, and you show cause how it's not. Not only are you following the law, you're sitting in the law, now you're exposed them to not being in the law. Pretty cool trick. Little jiu-jitsu I used to tell you about. Do your jiu-jitsu, do your aiki, aikido. Use their effort against them. So LA County, we're going to issue, no matter whether you're vaccinated or not, more masks. All right, so not to go against her work, but Peggy Hall. You see, whatever they're doing to say no, it apparently doesn't. It's not impressing everybody. And I think a part of it, just until I see different, is that there's not enough people, there's more people protesting the mask than finding out that nobody has a medical report and nobody is a risk of harm, that they need to, the masks are relevant. Now, I'm going to touch something I did last week I told you about. I'm just going to touch this. It's an idea. And I may have found, for at least my anticipation of this, I found how they developed the narrative, and we can see some evidence relative to the narrative impositions they've been doing in mitigation, that they told us early on what you shouldn't do, what you can't do, why the masks are relevant and all this. I think I found maybe what they used as the form, and it's all there in the communicable disease law. And I found it. I started it by this obtuse little story that I read. I came across that just caught. I think it was just a link in another story I was looking at that caught my interest. And it then becomes, I believe, fruitful to explain where the government's getting what it's telling you to do. It has nothing to do with the COVID, which is, again, just symptoms. Except that the symptoms is the same symptoms that anybody with some sort of an illness will get relative to having to fight the immune system firing up. This story I saw, large TB outbreak may be caused by surgical bone repair product. Maybe, and I thought maybe Jules, it's very possible maybe Jules in her Twitter, I saw this there as I think about this. I don't, it doesn't matter. Thank you, Jules. If you, I see you're out there, you don't post much, but thank you for being there still. Anyway, that story, large TB outbreak may be caused by surgical bone repair product. How oddball would that be to cause my attention? But there it was. U.S. officials are investigating an unusual outbreak of tuberculosis infections in people who had spinal surgery. They suspect that culprit is a potentially tainted bone repair product, according to news reports. More than 100 people have been exposed to TB bacteria through this product called FiberCell during spinal surgeries that occurred this spring, according to Washington Post. FiberCell is a putty-like substance made from human bone tissue that's used during various orthopedic and spinal surgeries. So, I'll let you read more on that. What I was interested in was the TB. How is that caused? If you go down farther, you read a little thing here, and it kind of directs you to the bacteria. Not a virus, a bacteria that causes tuberculosis. According to the CDC, a Center for Disease Control and Prevention, which is investigating the outbreak, the first step before an epidemic, in a medical condition here, along with the FDA, these 113 patients, quote, are likely to have been exposed to MTB, close quote, or Mycobacterium tuberculosis, the bacteria that causes TB. Does that sound familiar about SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19? Yeah, right. Well, here's a bacterium. Here's a real, well, we don't even know this, but a real beastie they've identified. And it's a bacterium. Interesting. That caused my attention. And this is where you start thinking, you think you know a lot, and you realize, wait a minute, I don't know anything about TB. I don't know how many times I've, all of the stuff you folks send me to talk about and to write your letters that you do, I've had to look through all these communicable disease statutes in other states, even other countries. Yes, even other countries. Got to, somehow I don't know how to read language, but I'm not even, American somehow, but at any rate, you can still divine stuff out of foreign languages if you look and just write. I realized I didn't, after seeing TB, it's the first thing, I think one of the first things you find in the communicable disease statute and them handling it. How it works. It's another lesson on how it's supposed to work. And you can turn that over to how they're supposed to be doing the COVID-19. I realized I really hadn't researched what TB was. It wasn't on my radar for focus, right? It's not what goes on. I didn't go research it. What is TB? I didn't really realize it was a bacterium that caused it. I got a WikiLeaks link for you. And what I read through this thing about the bacterium. Remember, I talked about the mycobacterium type stuff here weeks and weeks ago. I got onto that through a side channel. Remember? So all these things start to end up pulling together. But what caused my attention, I'm just going to, of all the things here, they talk about this situation, the pulmonary tuberculosis infection does become active when it does become active. In other words, it is inactive in some people. It's what, folks? It's asymptomatic, the pulmonary infection for tuberculosis. It says in this article, about 25% of the people may not have any symptoms that have this bacterium. It says that 5 or so, if I'm getting my memory correct, you can correct me on the differences between them. The 5 to 10% of the population has this in developed countries, and it's higher in undeveloped countries. In 15 to 20% of the active cases, the infection spreads outside the lungs and causes other kinds of TB. Other kinds of TB. In all kinds of organs, folks. Think about what they're saying is going on with COVID-19 and where it goes. And the mycobacterium problem I talked to you about earlier. And here, we're talking, tuberculosis is one of those. And it travels around when it becomes active, or possibly so. And it happens to have the same infection rate as influenza, generally, throughout the year. And then we got down, I keep reading down through, and you start listening and talking about this, and we get down to transmission. And let me read you just the first sentence. I mean, I'm not going to go any deeper. You can find this is just fascinating to read what this does and is. It's in the communicable disease statute. Everyone reads right past it to get to what they're supposed to do in a communicable disease, what I've been asking you to go look. I did. And I just realized when I read TB, I don't even know what TB is. What about TB? But listen, I want you to compare what they've told us relative to masks, why you need masks when I read the first sentence. Again, this is relative to tuberculosis bacterium. When people with active pulmonary TB cough, sneeze, speak, sing, can I repeat that word? Because that was the anomalous thing. Sing, where have we heard that before? Sing or spit, they expel infectious aerosol droplets of a certain size and diameter. Can I just focus on the sing? That just rings, doesn't it? Isn't that the anomalous, weird thing we're told? Oh, you can't go to church and sing? Now, when they did that, and I saw this, I said, they got the narrative from tuberculosis. We're dealing with a bacterium. Now it makes sense why ivermectin might work. Again, we don't know. I'm just talking like we know. I'm saying, I'm looking at trying to figure out what this thing really is. If anything. And when you have a knowledge and you have all the, we get to insurance because part of this deal about where the money, all the follow the money is an insurance condition. And I think Dr. David Martin comes up with that himself. He, I guess, had a research about this. But at any rate, don't underestimate Obama scare, Trump scare, and the insurance industry and going into mutual aid, if you will, and who is going to foot the bill and how, and the limited liability they give to this money machine behind the scenes. But isn't it interesting that in tuberculosis, they actually mentioned the word sing, the very thing that they said you can't do in church because it would spread the symptoms of COVID-19. They apparently were actually talking about what happens for tuberculosis. And how would you know not? This is fascinating. So, as I anticipate here, the anthelmintic ivermectins, not ivermectin. Ivermectin is a particular ivermectin. Kill macrobacterium tuberculosis, including multi-drug resistance clinical strains, as I just anticipated for you. So if it is, since they realize that they're just exacerbating the symptoms of the mycobacterium tuberculosis, and it's inactive and asymptomatic in most of the people that have it, and they just focus your attention on this whole thing, and they don't tell you it's tuberculosis, they call it COVID-19, they've got a bunch of scared people. And the asymptomats have been running around with it the whole time. They're not necessarily spreading it, though. And that's another interesting point. But ivermectin medicines are available in this study. Ivermectins are a family of macrolides known for their anthelmintic activities and traditionally believed to be inactive against all bacteria. And this is an interesting story because medicine didn't understand that it would be active against it. It took a special study to find out this is a narrow class of things, of medicines that actually go after something they didn't know, folks, that they do. And so this study is very important to read, this discussion. Very interesting. They point out that mycobacterium tuberculosis is controlled by ivermectins. Ivermectin is one of the class of which. Another story, anthelmintic ivermectins kill bacterium tuberculosis, including multi-drug resistant clinical strains. And so here we have again, is it SARS-CoV-2 or is it this other mycobacterium, which there's plenty of tough. That's stuff that is inactive, that asymptomats can carry. You can carry it, folks. You don't even know it. And this is also speaking to what I said before. If you have a comorbidity that's not known to you, and something affects you, and even the stress of your life isn't, remember, there's a bit of the placebo effect kind of work here. You can talk yourself into being sick as well. You can talk yourself out of being so sick as well. Right? We have, our mind's pretty powerful in some regards this way as well. All this stuff is available. If we would just have faith, if you will. Have faith. Do the works with the faith. And I keep repeating that, folks. This is where we end up going. This is just the devil's work. And if we don't get right, we're going to be just taken down by it. Ivermectin might be why, because it works, because it's a mycobacterium for tuberculosis that's latent in the same percentage of people that are supposedly catching it. So when they bring you in and they do the test, you test positive because you have a balance. Well, I was telling you, your body is balanced. It's only, you see it only when your body becomes imbalanced in its immune function. And what does this injection do? It destabilizes that balance. And so we then return back over. If this is a bacterium that's latent in some people, and the numbers are all consistent with what they've been telling us anyway, even though we look like they were pulling from influenza, now you wonder if it's latent in people in the flu, and you get some kind of an insult to your body, and your body reacts, and it might be the mycobacterium starting up, but it doesn't have all the symptoms of tuberculosis. Why? Because it spread from where it was in your lungs and went to some other part of your body. Brain fog, folks. And then we find out why fluvoxamine, I think it is the only, it only works then because ivermectin can't cross the blood-brain barrier. Apparently this mycobacterium is small enough that it can, and you'll read about that. So that's one object. And then here's somebody that I found. It's speaking more to what I've been saying, but he says that this is something. I'm saying that this is nothing. This is us believing it's something. There's no evidence that anything is going on other than the normal maladies of people throughout time. But there's this, talking to the graphene now, there's somebody who was on this, and I'm still interested in this, because why? I'm interested to identify, I'm not so sure we can. I want to get a handle of what we're dealing with, and I think it's important for those of us that are still have a mind to. This is endless. This attack is going to be endless. Understanding the mechanism, the tools they're using to come after us, and the tools we have to defend ourselves. And if you put that up against what they think they're doing is better, it's an alternative, and speak in alternatives as well. And you have the letter that says you're not at risk, and you're still doing prophylactic treatments ahead of the time, so you're not susceptible, or they can't prove you. Now you're establishing that record that you need to in order to throw off the prerogative of the government, which is going to be a police power, a militarized. That Dr. Luis Marcelo Martinez says the S protein is a graphene inside your body spiking you. And so this is coming in on the, and I got to be careful about all this. I'm not so sure any of this, but it's a possibility, probably potential thing. We just look at the odds. But this guy is saying that graphene we've been hearing about, which I cannot find yet in an ingredient list, unless it's in the proprietary privateness of how they build the oil, the Trojan horse, which it might be. On Sunday, June 27th, Argentine geneticist Dr. Luis Marcelo Martinez was interviewed by Pedro Moreno in the program Integritas. In this interview, Dr. Martinez explains the pandemic must be treated from an engineering point of view, not only from a health point of view, since it was discovered that vaccines contain graphene oxide. But experts in the area of electromagnetism must also be brought in to understand how to deal with what we are experiencing. Interesting story, interesting video. What I want is for me to tell you, this is another thing sitting there. I'm dubious. I'm going to bring up another report here real quick. Somebody does an analysis, so-called fact check, which I don't think is so bad. And they actually, because the statement that was done in one of the videos that starts this whole thing was saying, one of the women was saying, this was 98% graphene oxide. Well, that little statement right there turned on my alarm, because it couldn't be 99. Even as a nanoparticle you can't see, that just fills the whole vial. I also don't believe it's necessarily black in its view. I don't know what it would look like in that form. if you put tooling with a buckyball construction, it is purple. So that's a question to me. If you, again, I guess all this is understanding how much do you know? And I only know what I know, and only up to the amount that I'm not necessarily embracing all this. However, it does offer us another potential why graphene would be used. That's really what I'm looking at here. He also brings up the electromagnetism. This could be because these planar structures in graphene, whether graphene, graphene oxide, or whatever they are, as what we'll find out is a backbone. It's actually a substrate, or it's a doped material like a semiconductor. And so it has electromagnetic, electronic function. All this is sitting there as a possibility, though I can't find it, its actual inclusion. And I have to say, though, and this is like the swab test, which I'm going to finally give you a link, because another site brings it up, and it all starts to be coming in context. You need to see it all, that the swabs are actually putting in something in your body, which is that hydrogel lithium construction that attracts itself through magnetic fields to your pineal and pituitary that I've been talking about. I'm going to go ahead and give you the link to that that article. You can read that. These are all certainly sitting in the same type of an idea of what might be going on. However, I want to caution us to say, when you look at what they're using graphene oxide for, and what I would thought of last week was a two-dimensional, because it's a two-dimensional structure. There's one atomic thickness to it, the graphene, and then it would look like a frisbee, a five-sided frisbee, cutting through. It's atomically smaller than most everything. It would cut through everything that it hit. It could be forced in, and it could be driven in by electromagnetism. So this is ominous-sounding stuff on its own. However, it's also known to be a backbone for other things and for doing other things. And this is just the fascinating start about what we figured out, what it can do. All of it's horrendous because none of it is good. None of it should be applied to what they're doing at all. I don't care what this stuff is, but it's interesting to understand what they're going to be doing, because they're going to use these tools in the future. And we're going to need to know what these things do so we can see the effects, like the magnet trick. I still haven't figured that part out. But there may be indications as to why. I've already offered quite a few, three or four different options why a magnet would stick to your arm where an injection is. It has nothing to do at this point with graphene, though it could now. We'll find out that's the case. But the way they use that graphene is for another purpose, when it's the backbone for iron. They can make it, but they use that for a particular purpose. It's certainly not limited to that purpose, but we can see a method to the madness, if you will, otherwise, if we didn't know. So this doctor is saying that the study in Spain is on point. He's not going to say much more until they come up with their final discussion about it. The same site here, we got a different site talking about it. Dr. Luis Marcelo Martinez, the spike protein is nothing more than graphene inside your body and spiking you. And so that's what they're testing for. But if you look at what it takes, the amount may not be certainly as much as is reported on that video. And I'm not saying it's not incidental. It may be enough. I don't know. That's the point. I don't know. And I don't know if anybody that's talking, I don't know anybody, no one's talking to me that does know. And so it's just sitting out there as a, what's the thing that they're doing? What are they constructing against us? If you're not going to take it, that's fine. But I also had a thought, if they tie you down and force you or whatever, they cause it, you don't have the mark. You don't have the vaccine passport, so you can't buy or sell. They force you so-called into it. Maybe if it's a magnetized graphene, maybe my thought was I'd get a neodymium magnet with a hole in it, and I'd say, here, yeah, you give me the shot, take it, give me the shot right through this magnet. Because why? I'm holding the graphene back, right? Maybe there's no limit. They can't just give it to you anyway. You have a right to say where, maybe, okay? That seems far-fetched, but what if that's your only option, your last option? You're going to get the vaccine. What are you going to do? If you understand what they're doing, you might be able to cause a condition that it doesn't really do anything. I don't know. Maybe it would be the wrong thing to do. I don't know. The point is you got to work hard to protect yourself, however. And so Orwell City is where I get a couple links. La Quinta Columna, analysis of vaccine vial confirms presence of graphene nanoparticles. So this doctor is saying this is the spike, but this is a dangerous thing, as we heard, again, the double-edged sword of graphene. And this, I'm going to give you this link. It goes through a whole lot of things that they say that there's definitely graphene oxide. Now, honestly, I look at the pictures, And except for a couple that have an hexagonal shape, and these micrographs, they say, do not prove this. They just show what they show, and we can't really tell what they are. Some of them, some of the particles that they're showing don't look like anything like a two-dimensional structure to me. And so be very careful on being lulled in, but don't disregard the potential of that the truth is, some truth is here too. That I have another link to this issue that actually gives a link to that swab done in the other foreign country. I can't remember now the country was, it's not coming to me, that they did a test. Then they found the hydrogel lithium structure, self-organizing structure. And that's the thing we're going to find out as we read more of these links. The substances they are using to enhance the effect are self-organizing structural molecules. And they're self-organizing when they use graphene as well or not. They are adjustable. That self-organization is programmable and adjustable, as I've reported also before. So just, again, more information. You have to pour through this stuff, get a sense of what's going on. So these links are here to show us. This doctor is saying the S protein is nothing more than a graphene oxide, and that's having detrimental effects. And what he's essentially saying is there's nothing there, folks. And that's why I appreciate a little bit of this. That's more what I'm saying, except that I'm not even sure anything is out there, and the jab is the problem, whatever that technology is. You have to be able to avoid it. And you're not going to avoid it because you said no. Now, that'll work for a little while. Kind of like Bitcoin working, as you think, the Wild Wild West, which it is at this point. But this is the future they want, not the one that you have any say in, notwithstanding they talk in unity. You're not part of the unifying force. And so another interesting little story popped up for those of us that, you know, we hear these stories, we don't put it together. I thought it was interesting to state this, that this headline, all three presidents who declined the COVID vaccine are now dead. And they go through the leaders of the countries that are now dead for not embracing the World Health Organization's vaccine mandates, from Burundi, Tanzania, isn't it? And Haiti, just recently, okay? So when you see the amount of profit, again, organized criminals working in the world, this is not even a doubt that why. It also is no proof, but it's not beyond the reasonable belief as to what is going on. There is no dissent. Now, they go after a president, there is no dissent. Nationally. In America, United States of America, and I believe every place where the rule of law and democracy brand imposes itself as oppression, you do have the word in your mouth. You do have the final say. Because you have the first say if you would just step up to prove it. And so moving in through this issue, what is graphene oxide, and relating it back to this test that is proving it's in there, notwithstanding all the questions I have in my mind and the inability to actually see it, we do see the content issue that brings up that story again, shows the micrographs, which you have to understand, they don't prove it. Even looking right at it, folks, you're not knowing what it is. And you have to understand this. They can tell it, show us pictures and movies and audio, and you don't know. You just don't know. We can believe we know, but we just don't know. And so there's another article here about what is graphene oxide, goes through, explains it. I think this is the one here that I'm looking at that talks about super paramagnetic nanoparticle delivery of DNA vaccines relative to graphene oxide. And this started to, that's a component. Now we're looking back what's inside, what really is inside. And what you're looking at, again, is how they enhance the effect of what they're doing. And you also start to see when you start reading, they don't know. And this is the article that I did say. It's the analysis of test sticks from surface testing in Slovak Republic confirmation of genocide. I'm not so sure about the sensationalism of that. And I told you, this is the story I could not confirm any place, anywhere, relative to this story. However, it does offer a technical potential that does and has been reported to be able to be done. Now, this is the other problem I have. You can look around and find all these technologies and then become like, just put it together and make an assertion, and it's all fabricated. You have to really be careful about this. What's the guy that, I can't remember the name of the author that does that, supposed to speak for the Kremlin, inside sources of the Kremlin. I wish I'd remember that name. Just totally bogus. Totally bogus. Fabricates a bunch of stuff, throws it together. It sounds plausible, but it's totally bogus. That could be the story. However, the technology is there to do that. And so it's one of those things. What is that proprietary stuff they're doing? Why are the effects coming out to describe what this, if this is true, that this can be shown to be true, it does cause the effects we're seeing. Why is it important? Because if you understand that's what's going on, you might be able to make a counter to it. If you understand, like I'm going to get to here, graphene oxide is dealt with by an amino acid, a nutrient, then you're going to want to stuff yourself up to where you're not a counter affected, but you're going to want to have that in your system when you're going to go be forced to do anything, even if it's the shedding problem, correct? So this is you're looking at a multiple faceted understanding to be able to walk through the world of this polluted world now, this biological waste that's in the world, and being able to function. And being able to say to somebody, you haven't shown susceptibility, I'm doing these things, so I'm not. But you don't have the power to do it without what? Without science, if you will, without the medical right, and I'm not giving you that permission. Then you can actually put them on the threat, because if these people going door to door that have the vaccine or the shedders causing the problem, they are the vector, as I told you. This becomes how they're spreading it around. I've said this, I don't know why. Why is this a question? Fact check. Someone I thought was interesting went right through, did pretty good idea to balance the equation here on analyzing it, but they targeted. This is why you don't want to have a mistake once. You don't want to be wrong even once. Research well enough to know your place and do it right the first time so they don't do this. The one statement that the shot contained 99% graphene oxide is clearly can't stand it didn't stand long enough for it to issue from the woman's mouth. And that's what they target right in this. But they go through and they explain this, and I think it's important for balance so that we keep our sense of things, that we don't go to the fearmonger side. Fact check, COVID-19 vaccines do not contain 99% graphene oxide to conduct mass poisoning. Well, if you attach the graphene oxide, then I guess they're not doing mass poisoning, but that doesn't mean they're not mass poisoning. Okay, so we can destroy it. We can kind of get inside that title too, but I wanted to point out there's analyses that can be done which are accurate. You have to do that. I wouldn't rely on this one, but it does point out that there's a counter position, and you need to not be in a place that your position can be countered at all, not even plausibly so. You know, the example I told you about offering to the other miner a way to get his equipment, his machinery back that was stolen by the Forest Service, was to sit in the black and white law and have the other side show how that was not the case. That's the opportunity they have to respond. When they can't come back, that's the default that you call out. In this case, they didn't respond at all because it was completely violation of law what they were doing. And it must have been 10 or 15 points. They were completely defaulted out. They were at liability now. And a notice for that came out, referencing in a big packet of information all the prior communications and the record being made to prove it. So, there's a way to approach this. It's methodical. It's a pain. We shouldn't have to. Well, but then we got Genghis Schwab Khan to step up and leading the future we want reset nonsense, and most of the people around you agreed, even when they didn't respond, to at least protect themselves like I've been asking you to start to do. And so let's move into that super paramagnetic, because, you know, magnetism is so cool. It really is. I'm not, no joke, I think it's cool. And so we got all three or four states of magnetism. And paramagnetism is one of them. It means that the object is not magnetic in its own, but it is magnetic in a field of magnetism. Pretty cool. Super paramagnetic nanoparticle delivery of DNA vaccine. Now, remember, DNA, this is all fabricated stuff. This is all modeling, okay? So don't ever forget that as well. The whole thing is really a big fraud. The whole science is a big fraud. It's a big made-up thing. I've been telling you about models and how the incrementalism that comes on the agendas use models. They're so powerful because you forget about what nature really is. And anyway, so here we are. DNA is a model. Doesn't mean it's real. I forgot to say that all this year. This whole thing is just a made up thing. It's like somebody saying that evolution is what's going on and people missed he was actually only talking to adaptation. No, they ran with the fraud of the misinterpretation for advantage. But nobody has checked it. The efficiency of delivery of DNA vaccines is often relatively low compared to protein vaccines. Vaca, the cow, the cud chewing cow, that's what for you. You don't get out of the herd. Don't cut yourself. You don't cut yourself from the herd. This is for you. They want more efficient delivery. What is that consistent with? The other reports I've been telling you, the studies saying they admit that it's not real easy to do what they're doing to get it to affect your body. And that's just impliedly saying your body's pretty cool. Your immune system is pretty neat. How about if you fortify it? How about if you just stay away from the synthetics? Everything, the science by model. Risk management. Let's move back into nature. Even though nature could kill us. Understand that. But this is not the way to go. The use of super paramagnetic iron oxide nanoparticles, the spions, sounds real close to prions, to deliver genes via magnetofection. All these terms, how cool they're consistent with their models. Yeah? Shows promise in improving the efficiency of gene delivery, both in vitro or in vivo, in glass or in body. In particular, the duration of gene transfection, especially for in vitro application, can be significantly reduced by magnetofection compared to the time required to achieve hygiene transfection with standard protocols. Read this stuff, folks. This is talking about the valuable features of iron oxide nanoparticles, and then they talk about it in context with the graphene oxide as well. And they're all in that carboxylic groups, and this is what you do find in those ingredients, in the polyethylenamine, was chosen to modify the surface. So they're doing this whole thing is, how do they make this thing more effective? They essentially throw it into a surfactant. This is getting us back into those oil and water mixes, right? These emulsions, okay? They got to make these distinctly different things to meet up with each other. They're all charged. They're all electronics, if you will. And so this shows the super paramagnetic particles, nanoparticles, that they were speaking about in the previous research that I was talking about, exist, but they exist for a particular reason. And they're constructed in a certain way. And so now you start to see this, what it does is needed in a certain way. It itself may not be the causative factor. It's an adjunct to make something else happen. And they talked to this polyethylenamine was chosen to modify the surface spions, to assist the delivery of plasmid DNA into mammalian cells due to the polymers, right? This is all chemistry, or extensive buffering capacity through the proton sponge effect. And so we're looking at a magnetic effect. You put this stuff in the field of a magnetic field, this stuff, it'll turn magnetic. It'll be attracted to, or maybe even repulsed, I guess, from a magnet. Now this delivery system may be what's causing this other effect. The point is this becomes into a substrate. The backbone of this is graphene oxide. The graphene oxide now can't be 99% because it's doped or it's absorbed with another molecule. And so we see that 99% was clearly the wrong statement to make, even if he didn't even understand much about it. Observation, other study, observation of magnetic domains in graphene magnetized by controlling temperature, strain, and magnetic field. They're learning how to organize and to manipulate graphene to do things by those three different controls, temperature, strain, or magnetic field. Is all proving is everything you're seeing has to be novel or man-made or made up or the hand of man. This is not natural at all. None of this can be. In fact, just dealing in DNA, it's not normal. It's just not a natural thing. Go back to your science and see what's really they're talking about. What is in the cell? That's what they're talking about. The DNA is a model of that, expression of that. It's not what it is in nature. And so they talk about ferromagnetic graphene. They explain that this is a very important thing, and they have uses for ferromagnetic graphene. One of the interesting things for this was they adjust this by these fields, these controls to the magnetic field. And what they needed it for was because when they don't have it and they attach the graphene for purposes of filtration, they couldn't efficiently extract, because it's so small, they couldn't efficiently extract the graphene which captured. It acts more like Roundup, like a descaler. It actually traps pollutants. It traps metals. It's a hexagon, so it's like a ring around things, and then it's got the atomic structure attaches to the outside. It actually collects up metals in its one capacity. They couldn't find it. They couldn't get it back once they put it in the system. And the way they got it back was magnetically. They could take out the filtrate, the graphene, then the nanoparticle filtrate by making it magnetic. They just put it before a magnetic. They just stopped the whole process from filtering through by a magnet. Why I got the idea of the neodymium magnet with a hole in it. Go ahead. You're going to kill me. You're going to try and kill me with that injection. Here, you're going to go do it through this magnet. That's the only place you got permission. Why? Because I'm hoping that paramagnetic materials, if they're not constructed in the body, which they possibly could be, are going to be stopped right there in the syringe. Okay? That's an idea. Don't tell you to do it. I'm saying avoid all that. So we have reasons why the ferromagnetic graphene might be available, but I haven't found that in the ingredients. And some of you might be able to read finally where they're there. I haven't seen them yet. I haven't read anything to you that says it. But we do have a reason why graphene oxide could be there, and they actually tie it in to the efficacy of getting this stuff into you. And so in that regard, it's not so good if that's going to cause things to cause immunomodulation problems, and then maybe that mycobacteria from tuberculosis fires up and spreads around to your whole body, into your organs. Effective modification of magnetic graphene with ionic liquid on the adsorption of non-ionic surfactant NP10EO is discussed in this next link. I will tell you, application as synthesized. Remember, it's all synthesized. It's all synthesized to modeling. It was the MCM41 and MCM41 wrapped with graphene, a reduced graphene oxide. And this is another type of product, a graphene oxide in the remediation of acetaminophen and aspirins in aqueous systems. And this is exactly what I was talking about. They can use it to trap things in your system, reduce the toxicity. The problem was they couldn't get it back, and so that they had to make a way to get it, and they figured out, well, if we make it magnetized, if we can attach a backbone on iron, we can collect it back out. And so I found that pretty fascinating. You can make yourself a biological filter and then get all the filtrate back out to reduce the toxicity in the body. And so I want to show you, there's that double-edged sword about what this is. And it may not be, I'm not saying it's not dangerous, but I'm also not going to lose my hair over, well, the one hair that may be available to lose, not going to lose my hair over all this if it's just what they're kind of muddling about. I just don't want it. I just don't want it. That's just a simple answer there. But we want to understand what they're trying to do, and they think they do. Why? Because when you understand they try to come after you, you may have to do what that Catherine Austin Fitz says things does, where you've done an analysis and you do the risk assessment of that. And for someone who's healthy that hasn't been shown to even be an asymptomatic to the mycobacteria for tuberculosis, it may be harmful. For class B, and this is where we start getting on what we might be dealing with, and then we get us back to the government acknowledgement of the fact of what they're including. Don't know. We haven't seen it, except we see the ingredient list that does include something like this. Class B CpgODN, formulated with the nanostructure, induces type 1 interferons dependent and CD4 plus T cell independent CD8 plus T cell response against unconjugated protein antigen. And so they're telling us in this one, relative to their T cell, remember that's your immune response kind of responding. They tell us that CpG is a very important component, and this all started from a link sent to me by a listener, a patent, nanocoronavirus recombinant vaccine taking graphene oxide as a carrier. And again, this is the backbone. The graphene oxide is the backbone for something else. It's a way to hold something else because of its structure. And you go down and through here, and you read where this, what we said before, just in the title, we're looking at the other article of CpG. What's that? And so, if you do, I'll just give you a couple links for DuckDuckGo. You can go read all this. It's an adjuvant. You see it just quickly. It's an adjuvant, and it's an adjuvant that's used instead of alum or aluminum. And so now we see the adjuvants that are added in order to incite your immune system to work. That's what that CpG in those vaccines is, and it comes in different forms. They talk about CpG motifs in bacterial DNA and their immune effects. Now we're back to what? This substance is used for bacterial infections, not viral infections. This is just DuckDuckGo, folks. I'm not going to read to you. You can see it yourself. I'm orienting you to maybe something that, why are we back to ivermectin as well? Fluvoxamine. Why are these even there? That's not a virus, apparently. Even if it's something. It's a bacterium. Oh, mycobacterium, maybe, folks. Maybe something that caused a destabilization in your immune system, and that kicks off and now goes to your brain, and now you got brain fog. This stuff is used, the CpG is used for bacteria, bacterial type infection, DNA stuff. What it ends up being involved in with the G is a guanine, and just interestingly, that's that DNA synthetic fabricated model of your DNA structure, constructed of only four of those elements, the G, A, C, and T. G is the G, the guanine. Then you have adenine and cytosine and thymine, right? The letters. That's what you see, the genetic code. You're made up like this code. It's all been fabricated, okay? The sequence of four DNA base encodes the cell's genetic instructions, they tell us. So this is what they're talking about. This is where you now start getting to that spike protein potential, the receptor part. But CDC says these CpGs are adjuvants and have been used safely in vaccines for decades, they say. Aluminum salts, such as aluminum hydroxide, aluminum phosphate, aluminum potassium sulfate, have been used safely in vaccines for more than 70 years. All in a false synthetic model theory that they say, they tell you that it works. Aluminum salts were initially, that they have to have a vaccine court to pay for harm back as well. Aluminum salts were initially used in 1930s, 1940s, 1950s with diphtheria and tetanus vaccines after it was found they strengthened the body's immune response to these vaccines. They overstimulate it, folks. Let's say strengthen. So I'm just going to give you this. The CDC recognizes these CpGs that are named in the ingredients are adjuvants. And they are the Trojan horse that allows the effect to happen to make them more efficient. That you can use graphene oxide to produce them. In this case, it certainly can't be graphene is 99% of the total structure. It just can't happen. I mean, I don't even know why that woman said that. But at any rate, I think they've done there. I think there's a truth out there giving us the protection if we just listen. That statement was made so we call our attention. Not necessarily to make sure we don't embrace the total story. And I'm glad I get to pick that up because it helps me to guide me moving through and understanding all this. Ultimately, you know, as I said, the answer is just stay away from this nonsense, this new neo-alchemy, I guess. I don't even know if it's that much, but They'll tell you, read all through these things, and they just don't know. They're promising. It's like it has. This is a report that happened 2020 during the time of these creations of these vaccines. It was promising that these ingredients would work. That's still a test. That's still an experiment. You're in a living experiment. And no one can shut this down, to my dismay. I don't know what to say. Colloids and surfaces, A, physiochemical and engineering aspects, one-step reduction of graphene oxide with L-glutathione. And here we are, folks. One potential help and answer for this whole thing. And what was very interesting is I do studies on, you know, what are we, what are we made of, what don't we get, what are our diet, I don't care how good your diet is. Astonished at how bad our diets really are, even how good they might you think they are. But one-step reduction of graphene oxide with L-glutathione, that almost has a happy ring to it, doesn't it? And you read this story, and it doesn't sound like too much. It doesn't sound like it could help. But when you understand glutathione, and I have a link to what it is, it's a food supplement, if you will. It's in your food. Glutathione. Don't make a mistake on the other. I won't even say the other one. Glutathione. It's for oxidative stress. It's an antioxidant then, isn't it? At any rate, this is pivotal in that if it is graphene oxide that's in these, and then you'll find out L-glutathione does a whole lot more with different molecules. It's very interesting. I was looking at this here for months. This is one of these supplements I can't find right now. Relative to wherever I got a hold of them. I know they're online. I don't do that. I don't have digital money and all that other stuff. So point is that they make this one scarce. And I can see now why. They tell you how to do this. And they tell you what it does. And it reduces graphene oxide in one step. It gets rid of the problem. And then it puts it in a way that your body can get rid of it. And so I've got this for your consumption. You like that double entendre. For your consumption, anticipate the possibility if things like graphene oxide are a concern, you may want to look at how to fortify your nutrition. And glutathione, to my mind, looks like one of those things that you need to have, no different than I was telling you for the L-lysine and to mitigate the problem of firing up the herpes simplex things that most people may have, not everybody, but they lay in an asymptomatic state, don't they? And L-lysine helps to just stop all that process. Glutathione is a different thing, and it works in a different way, and it's really more central. And so this little study here doesn't sound like much. One-step reduction of graphene oxide with L-glutathione is saying that it can reduce its effect, it can eliminate that in one step. And all it is a nutrient. Now I can go through the headings. Reduces oxidative stress. May improve psoriasis. And if you listen to what these diseases, the effects are, understand that there's a system in the body that allows this effect to come out that's dysfunctional. That this nutrient targets that system. So think in system, what causes this psoriasis? How does psoriasis get formed? You're targeting with this L-glutathione that system, not just the psoriasis. Reduces cell damage in alcoholic and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. What does that tell me? Wow. That's like what? I might be able to have a natural herb for that. Cell damage in the liver? That's milk thistle. And you're going to find out in one of these articles, they actually reference that. So L-glutathione may be able to be found, whether or not it's in substantial amounts, independent of the sources of the stores, which I'm having actually to start look at now. So, number four, let's see, let's go down. Four, improves insulin resistance in older individuals, folks. Those of you with insulin problems, maybe you should be looking at fortifying your liver, and L-glutathione might help on that. This L-glutathione attack, it helps all of these systems. Think about what they're attacking with this serum. Improves mobility for people with peripheral artery disease. Now we have vein clogging going on. Reduces symptoms of Parkinson's disease. Amazing. May help fight against autoimmune disease. All right, enough there. Fascinating stuff. Fascinating stuff. I'm pausing, folks. We have to look for ourselves. We have to be responsible for ourselves. And if this thing that's out there is endless, and they're figuring different vectors, and they're trying to make, they're aerosolizing this thing as well. I hope you've seen those stories. Your body is going to have the things in it, and be very careful when I'm not saying doing any of this. You have to decide for, this is like writing your letter. Like confronting the government, whether you want to call yourself a parent or not. That's up to you. I advise that against that to do that. I'd find the natural status that you are and run and confront them with that. In this case, your health is for you. Consider well what I'm saying, but consider them in the context of your need. Do not overdo this. You'll cause other problems. Everything in a balance, as best as you can keep it. But keep it fortified. Keep on the top end. This would be in addition to other things. These things also don't work in a void. They work well with other things. When I said milk thistle, there's actually, when you look at the herbal application, there's a few other things you can use with that. So if you go back through and you look at what those herbs offer, they work synergistically together, not alone. And they work not to deplete, but to advantage the body, right? So this is a very serious thing to do for yourself. It's more responsibility. It can be a little bit of a pain because then you got to learn a new thing. But this is us. And this is the marvel of our immune system. It normally works. It functions fairly well without this. But the way it's being set up is apparently we're not getting what we need. Apparently we're not getting enough of this, because if we had enough, we wouldn't be worried about the graphene oxide, even in the amounts that they're injecting directly into us. So, a little help in my mind. Although, I was interesting. I was, what about this glutathione? I was like, I forget what I do. I typed in the word in my history for my searches, and up popped a bunch of tabs. I've been researching this for over, I think it's been 2 years now. Looking at all the interactions, folks. Trying to pull all this together in anticipation of looking into the future and saying, what is my body going to have to be looking at to stop? This one's a big one. And then when I saw that story, that study, that one-step process, I said, wow, the wonders of the immune system, the wonders of the body, the wonders of what it does. Well, you don't have to think about it. We just have to provide sufficient levels. And I'm going to stress that much here. Do not exceed a balance and the need to do, don't overdo what you're going to be doing. You can actually cause trouble, serious trouble, actually. So there we go. I think to me, I wanted to stop right there. Now glutathione will destroy this graphene. Now, if my body's up on it and I've got the diet working, it's working okay, maybe I can have another data point on my list of alternatives I'm doing to stop the government's ability to say I could be susceptible. And you got a scientific study here to do so. Now, moving into something I didn't get to last week, but the consequences of all this stuff, and you see how government just doesn't, it's useless. It's useless to stop the nonsense. It won't intend to, notwithstanding that Congress is irrelevant to the local health officials authority, which is exclusive to the state. Fauci-funded EcoHealth refuses to give Wuhan documents to Congress. And so you're looking at the government. Right hand doesn't know what the left hand does. Criminals are out there. The Congress asks for some information, and the corporation just says no. I'm asking you to do the same thing. Say no. The Vico Health, the one that continues this and promotes it, we've heard that the leader of that can do this. Well, then I think you may look at this as an object lesson to do it for yourself locally. You want to be the consent of the governed, or do you want to be the posterity with the authority? Maybe you should be both, have a backstop. 4 months before Obama administration suspended federal funding and gain of function, it's military, folks. Military research on U.S. soil. The process by, you understand how I read this different, folks? That was just another example right there. I read these stories different. They're notice to us of what's really going on. Gain of function is military research to be functioning on U.S. soil. The process by which virologists manipulate viruses, all models, to be transmissible to humans. Enhancement, right? And so they're working on that with this jabdemic. And so you can't say, oh, I'm not getting the jab and it may not affect me. It can't affect me. No, they're making it aerosolized and other things. But anyway, going on here, the sub-agency of National Institute of Health, headed by Dr. Anthony Fauci, effectively shifted this research to Wuhan Institute Virology, a giant grant to nonprofit group EcoHealth Alliance, headed by Peter Daszak. And so they, Congress asked them, because of that, give us your information. They said no. Is the state of the problem today? Maybe what's good for the goose is good for the gander here. Maybe you can do so too. That gain of function is strictly military. Let me tell you though, this story is a setup. Nothing has happened, folks. Whether that money went or gone, it didn't do a Wuhan virus. It didn't do that. That's all a narrative. There's about 3 or 4 narratives running on this. You can buy into all of them. Any one of them. It's up to you to stop buying into all of it and just say, wait a minute, I'm me, I'm not sick. That's where it begins and ends. But the way the prerogative of police power works in the rule of law democracy branded oppressions, I need proof that I'm not sick. And the best evidence I know is to get it right from the horse's mouth. Not the other end. They're the same person, but you need it from the horse's mouth. The people that claim to have that hold on you, which the objective basis requires a certain set of steps. The letter of which I've asked and said earlier in the beginning of the broadcast is those 2 conditions to start with to establish that you're not had a medical report and that you haven't been determined to be the risk to the public. See, that then all this doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where it started. It doesn't matter if it's a narrative. All that matters is that you've starting to resolve it for you. And so for as much as the government is supposed to be given the information because the oversight of appropriations and money, you see it just squandered away. Like, why didn't they check anything else and stop it? They don't stop anything. They're not there to stop anything. And I understand this. I'm not going to give documents. I've been involved in a situation long years ago. The Arizona Attorney General wanted some documents, and we essentially told them to go pound sand. Administratively, they did it wrong, and we told them that. We showed them the black and white about how they did it wrong. We told them to pound sand. Am I arrogant? No, because the guy was making a wrong demand under the threat of doing some other damage. They're criminals. And so there's a way to say no about this. Apparently, this company getting lots of money to produce the fraud is doing it as well. But do you think that I believe that Congress is on the dog on the hunt to stop it? Absolutely not. This is just all politics, too. Why do I know that? Because there's nothing coming out of Wuhan. And instead of that, they should be focusing on how the agencies are violating your rights to say they're going to come knocking on your door, that we have to see someone like Whitehead come up and tell you what rights you have and how you're going to address that. Or some guy behind the woodshed said, get your letter so you can shut it off. Which very few of you have done. Then if you've done it, you're not talking to me. So there's my other side of that. But so the control of information is critical. How you do that's critical. And so we have some interesting little tells coming up about the power of the government to come and tell these private companies about these legacy media propagandists what's going to be what when they want to and the pressure they can put. And the problem is when you look at this and you say, oh, well, how's the government penalizing Twitter for not doing something, and you realize what they were going to be told by the government was to allow the government to do more control. Now you understand the two-handed problem that we have, even if you want to stop censorship on a private company, media company like Twitter, then the government can come in and tell Twitter what to censor and what not to censor. You've got the same problem. And this is what's on the horizon for us, as I ask you to start looking for alternatives and get away from what's going on. Figure out, if you will, if I can use, I don't have a better term right now, federated communications with everybody. And I think there's something called the Freedom Phone. It came in the chat last night when I entered in just after I started putting my broadcast, finishing up my broadcast tabs. Freedom Phone, I'm going to be on record with Cowboy Tech. Be careful of that. Be careful. There's nothing Freedom Phone. There's nothing in the digital world that's not going to still be surveilled. And I'm still looking at whether or not you can root a phone and whether that's even sufficient because of the problems, the vulnerabilities, and the technology. But this is another promotion. They get you, and they're pretty cheap, too. So be careful about what they're promoting is what a Freedom Phone. Remember, Freedom is actually If they're talking science and physics, it's the freedom is really only defined as the range of motion within a frame of constraint. Best science folks. But here, Twitter loses immunity over user-generated content in India. Interesting. Twitter loses immunity over user-generated content in India. So government can do that to Twitter. And no more, Twitter no more enjoys liability protection against user-generated content in India as the U.S. microblogging giant has failed to comply with new IT rules, the Indian government said in a court filing. The statement is the first from Prime Minister Narendra Modi's administration has officially said Twitter has lost its immunity after repeatedly criticizing the company for non-compliance. And that's the critical thing. What is this non-compliance? You think, oh, they're violating the law. Maybe that's a good thing. The non-compliance is the government wanting to pull stuff from the internet that you may have posted. False news, right? Improper information, right? Which we're already hearing Biden coming up with. What did I hear? I can't remember now where I heard it. What did I hear? If you are wrong in one Twitter, wrong social platform, you should be banned from all platforms. Same thing here. So here we have it. The government of India is going after Twitter. Oh, great. You could say, great, go after Twitter. But when you find out what they're trying to do is strip you from your rights in India, maybe not such a good thing. And now you see both the public-private partnership working against you. Exclusive. Twitter sees jump in government demands to remove content of reporters. Of reporters, your journalists. Those, if you think that if you think that's even something. So we have this attack going on, and I think I'll finally bring up the story I didn't bring up. We got attack on the digital world, right? The control of the government's pervasive. The censorship is on. The attacks against everybody in censorship is on. I'm going to jump way back to the beginning, something I jumped over when I went to Catherine Austin Fitz's story because it fit better with where I went it. Off my tab a bit. Here, and this talks to last week, Polygon and on and on. Here's what happened at Cyber Polygon at 2020, and this is a report from 2020, and they said exactly what I told you was going on, and they said that the drill went live. And we haven't heard of a lot of other things that happened, thousands of companies being attacked as a test, that I told you this was not a drill. This was the actual testing of the system. And so my first link will be, here's what happened at Polygon 2020. It's a repeat. It's the thing that I told you. The gentleman that does the research is finding the same thing. I was just fascinated to see, again, the story come out after. But in fact, looking in the past to predict what happened that we were watching, that I said looks like more of the execution of the plan more than a drill to watch. Under the cover and threat that they can take down the internet. Again, it was designed to not be. The military designed it so it couldn't. Multiple nodes allows you to go find paths that aren't necessarily available when you do have a major singular line. And this is what Federation kind of does. It uses all these addresses that are not being used to skip along and go finding each other to be able to communicate. And they have the machine has a harder time to track you down that way. But anyway, go back to so Polygon, a guy comes out and says, yeah, this all turned out to be real. No different than what I was saying, Colonia and all that. Looks like it's the execution of the plan. And my point on that for you to see is they're targeting everything you need in life to bring it into control or bring it into limitation for you. And so at the time that India is going to shut down Twitter on what it's not complying with the law, which is to have the government come in and censor Twitter for your content, not Twitter. We also see, and I was given this link, I think, from Sound Minds, something that came up in just the review. I just want to mention that the only thing that finally came to my mind is, again, the intrusion, even on those that aren't participating, into the commercial specter, even if it's not military surveillance of everything. Facebook augmented reality, AR glasses, augmented reality glasses to release this year might include facial recognition. Not Google Glass, but Facebook. They say augmented reality. but they actually tell you that there's some other technology there, and they're going to include, supposedly, and I don't see how they can't, facial recognition. And so there's a set of stories here where the, as long as Facebook is going to do what the military wants for surveillance, they can put a product out which is completely intrusive. Something I don't know, I really don't know how to avoid this. Anybody. I don't know how you avoid this. You got someone with the fantastic AR glasses because I need to be told in my vision to walk across the street because it's okay now because all this 5G is pumping all this information and now knows the green light's good for me. I hope there's no glitch there. I need that because I'm such a cud-chewing cow. That when that camera is looking out and you happen to walk by and they have facial recognition or whatever, proximity detection, whatever your electronic signature is, they know where you're at. They identify you and you're not even in their commercial system. You're now a commercial commodity and didn't know it. Brings a lot of credence to maybe we should all be copywriting our likeness, you think? But how do you know they did it? How do you know they've got it? And who do you know is going to get that information? It's really the terror that came up underneath when I was reading this. The Facebook augmented reality glasses might include facial recognition. I'm not going to read the story. You can read it. You'll find it. Like I said, in the future, if you don't figure out, if we don't figure out a way to stop this, you will not, it'll be your life. You probably won't even have a problem with it. And yet it's the biggest problem. Like I said, I don't think dystopia is a proper definition for the future we want that will not ever include anything you thought it would, and not for you. Facebook is launching smart glasses in 2021. It's the next step to an AR device. And they're using Ray-Ban. How cool is this, folks? How cool are you going to be looking? They get your mask on, and then they get these cool Ray-Bans. Where's your face going? It's a surveillance system. They're not caring about your face anymore. They have that in the backside camera of your phone. They want everybody else you're going to go meet. Facebook's first big event since moving away from Oculus brand and rebranding its AR to VR efforts, Facebook Reality Labs. Listen to the nonsense here. Facebook Reality Labs is the furthest thing from the truth. But here they have. This is the promotion you get to buy into. It announced a new consumer wearable and dove into its ongoing research into augmented reality devices, which are now becoming mesh systems. They transmit their own. They use your battery power. They use your bandwidth to transmit information to other private systems that are able to read it. And I suspect behind the scenes, the military has the back door to those mesh systems that would otherwise be private to Amazon or private to Google, private to Facebook. They've been allowed to do this if the government has access to that feed. And they will. NASA, NSA will do that. So, another wearable device. It's supposedly coming out. They're going to be so cool to wear my Ray-Bans in order to become a surveillance system, a roving surveillance system. This is almost a terrifying condition. You can, and see, here's the problem. It is the fact that they're grabbing you up and analyzing you without your notice and all that, and your consent and all that. But worse is the mistreatment of the information, the misuse of that information. If you're watching COVID-19 continue to today, and they're going to come knocking at your door, and you haven't quite figured all out what that means, the AR glasses from Facebook is that problem presently in your face. It's everywhere. Everywhere. Everywhere, folks. But don't think that they won't have some requirement, some social ding that goes on if you don't put on your glasses. Facebook AR ads, how to create them, plus the most important metrics. They wouldn't have this unless it's going to be a thing, folks. More and more people are interacting with augmented reality on a daily basis, so now this is everyone does it. Boston Consulting Group estimates that 80 million people in the U.S. engage with augmented reality on a monthly basis, and this number is expected to grow to more than 120 million this year. I'm stunned, folks. I really don't even understand this, but I'm stunned. Are you kidding me? People would augment their reality and have this much product out there to do so instead of just existing in reality. AR not only keeps users busy in their mobile phones, but advertisers can also use the tech to create ads. Their users can engage with real-time in real time. That think immersive filters for pictures, games, and movies. Facebook AR ads help advertisers do that. And guess what? When you read deep enough, it says they do that for less than 30 seconds because that's all your attention span will keep up with. But they're there. They're teaching people to use this technology. As you walk around, Minority Report, forget the store windows. They're going to put it right on your face, and you're going to put it there. And when you don't have it on your face, you're exposed to the guy who has, the gal that has put it on their face and think that's something really cool. In a way, this is really terrifying. The power that someone behind that technology has. And then to monetize you without your consent and without, even if you wanted to have a proration of the value. And partly why on YouTube, Grimner never monetized anything. We don't even want that much from these people. Anyway, so to me, I mean, there's more to read here. I'm stunned. 180 million people already involved and they agree? Amazing. I told you, you're going to be asking for this stuff. You're going to then be affected by those that did ask for this stuff, even if you didn't. This is an invasion that I don't think we've ever contemplated before. But what it did cause to come to my mind was this little idea that we've been told, it's been in supposedly 2,000 years, that when I looked at this, and I looked at the surveillance that's going on, and I looked at the fact that it's now on your face, the first thing that I came on, remember, you know, you want to find me at Proton Mail's Mark on the Beast at protonmail.com. But what came to my mind was that Mark of the Beast. And the statement, I think, is what, Revelations 20:4. Neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. I think is the phrase. Received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. Now, there's a lot of commentary about this. Long time ago, I realized it didn't have to be physically anything on your forehead like we can see. It could be inside your mind. Because some of this is figurative. In fact, a lot of it can be, is. Both. It can be both. Now, when I read those words now more, when I see the AR glasses upon your forehead is what got my mind. That's why I went back and then I see in their hands is your phone. Unless you throw it on a table all the time, but you got to put it in your hand someplace. Unless you put it in your teeth. I don't know how you're going to use it. It's a hand device. So, upon their foreheads could be AR glasses, but I think it's deeper than that. Don't diminish what I'm saying here. Just understand, there's a statement out in the world before us that within the minds of people, in their acceptance, they would allow their minds to be controlled. They would place stuff on their foreheads to be controlled and be controllable, would affect everyone around. Their example speaks out. Their deed speaks out. From their hand, and then, interestingly, in their hand, is the same type of technology. Again, it's just a bit terrifying. And I'm asking you to be a mark on that beast. Don't take the mark of the beast, which is putting in your mind the acceptance of the stuff, and when you see others do it, think that's okay. And don't come together, because we can't solve it. We can't solve this on our own, folks. I just don't know what to tell you about that one. This is definitely going to be mutual aid, whether we want to or not. This is all foretold to us. I don't care what anybody believes about the Bible or don't. There's some pretty interesting marks there for our delineation. And this really came to mind. On their forehead, they're placing a surveillance system, which is and can be required, even if they don't penalize you, you can get credits to cause those endorphins to flow in the beginning. If they tie it onto what they're doing monetarily for ads, then they might actually give you a cut. You would actually get paid to be a surveillance system. I don't know how they're going to do this, but this is somewhat terrifying to me. Thank you, Grimner, for what you do at RealLibertyMedia.com. I'll be with you next week. Tech diffs or nature willing. Well, that's another lesson.
I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, Journey with Purpose.
Up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.